Welcome to the Holmesville Church of the Brethren. This is Pastor Mary Beth. I have an announcement to make. In case you don't know, I am retiring after this Sunday. So I have enjoyed the 17 plus years that I have ministered at Holmesville, and I have enjoyed the 4 years plus that I have released a podcast for Holmesville Church of the Brethren. I pray that all of you will be in God's care and keeping as we part ways. This is the worship service for April 7, 2024. It is the second Sunday of Easter. Join in our call to worship. Jesus said, "Follow me." Jesus said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Jesus said, "Forgive 70 times 7. Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." In response, we say, "Here's my heart, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above." Let us worship God with all our hearts. God of second chances and God of new life, we have spent our days wandering. Like Peter, we have milled about through nearly every state of faith. We have had courageous days and convicted days, learning days and questioning days. We have had days where we run to you, days for diving out of the boat, days for deep joy, and days where the pain of the world feels too close to bear. So as we bring our wandering hearts to you, we ask that you draw us in. Allow Peter's story to spark something new in us. Allow the story of grace to give us pause and pull us in. We are listening. Amen.
Christ is risen, shout Hosanna, celebrate this day of days. Christ is risen, hush in wonder, all creation is amazed. In the desert
Prayers once again from the new book, Have a Beautiful Terrible Day by Kate Bowler. It is a blessing called Make Me a Peacekeeper. You sent the Holy Spirit. You sent a dove. You commanded swords be beaten into everyday tools. You sent a baby. You sent fishermen. You sent a son to lay his own body down. We are fools, holy fools. There must be some who see lions sheathing their moistened teeth and shepherds sent out for lowly lambs. We cry out, save us, to a God who listens. Who swears that mass shootings and missile testing will halt when the trumpets sound? Someday you will bend all evil toward love and melt every bullet into cogs that turn the wheels of justice. But until then, Lord, put my body between the children, between the imprisoned, between the widowed, between the innocents or not, and their oppressors. You made us swear we'd shield before your kingdom comes. Amen. Our scripture is John 21, 1 through 19. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the lake. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far off from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them, and though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." This writing is called Peter, and it's by Frederick Buechner. You didn't think I would let you get out of here without quoting Buechner, did you? Peter. Everyone knows Peter started out as a fisherman. He lived with his wife in Capernaum, where they shared a house with his mother-in-law and his brother Andrew. He and Andrew had their own boat and were in business with a couple of partners named James and John, Zebedee's sons. The first time Jesus laid eyes on him, he took one good look and said, "So you're Simon, the son of John," and then said that from then on he'd call him Cephas, which is Aramaic for Peter, which is Greek for rock. A rock isn't the prettiest thing in creation, or the fanciest, or the smartest, and if it gets rolling in the wrong direction, watch out. But there's no nonsense about a rock, and once it settles down, it's pretty much there to stay. There's not a lot you can do to change a rock, or crack it, or get under its skin, and barring earthquakes, you can depend on it about as much as you can depend on anything. So Jesus called him the Rock, and it stuck with him the rest of his life. Peter the Rock. He could stop fishing for fish, Jesus told him. He'd been promoted. From there on out, people were to be his business. Now he could start fishing for them. There was a lot of talk going around about who Jesus was and who he wasn't, and Jesus himself seemed just as glad to steer clear of the subject. Then one day he brought it up himself, and the disciples batted it around for a while. There were some people who said he was John the Baptist come back from the grave, they told him, or maybe Elijah, or Jeremiah, or some other prophet who thought he'd see what he could do a second time around. There were all kinds of half-baked theories, they said. Then Jesus put it to them straight. "Who do you say that I am?" Nobody wanted to stick his neck out, and the silence was deafening until Peter broke it, until it washed up against the rock that Peter was and broke itself. "You're the Christ," he said, "the Son of the living God." It took a lot of guts to say, and Jesus knew it did. If it was true, it was enough to blow the lid off everything. If it wasn't true, you could get yourself stoned to death as a blasphemer for just thinking it. But Peter said it anyway, and Jesus made up for him the only beatitude he ever made up for a single individual and said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah," which means Simon, son of John, and seems to have been what he always called him when he really meant business. Then he went back to Peter the Rock again and told him that he was the rock he wanted to build his church on, and that as soon as he got to heaven, he was to be the one to decide who else got in. "I will give you the keys of the kingdom," Jesus said. It was another promotion. But if Peter was the only one Jesus ever gave a beatitude of his own to, He was also the only one he ever gave hell to, at least in quite such a direct way. It happened not long afterward. Jesus was saying that to be the Christ, the Son of the living God, wasn't going to be a bed of roses all the way, and the time wasn't far off when he'd suffer the tortures of the damned in Jerusalem and be killed. Peter couldn't take it. "God forbid, Lord, this shall never happen," he said. And that's when Jesus lit into him. "Get behind me, Satan," he said, because the rock that Peter was at that point was blocking the grim road that Jesus knew he had to take, whether he or Peter or anybody else wanted it that way or not, because God wanted it that way, and that was that. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." It wasn't the last time Peter said the wrong thing either, or asked the wrong question, or got the wrong point, or at least failed to do the thing that was right. The day he saw Jesus walking on the water and tried to walk out to him himself, for instance. He was just about to go under for the third time, because rocks have never been much good at floating, when Jesus came to the rescue. Once when Jesus was talking about forgiveness, Peter asked how many times you were supposed to forgive any one person. 7 times, maybe? And Jesus turned on him and said that after you'd forgiven him 70 times 7, you were just starting to get warmed up. Another time, Jesus was talking about heaven, and Peter wanted to know what sort of special deal people like himself got, people who'd left home and given everything up the way he'd given everything up to follow Jesus. And Jesus took it easy on him that time, because a rock can't help being a little thick sometimes, and said he'd get plenty and so would everybody else. And then there were the things he did or failed to do, those final miserable days just before the end. At their Last Supper, when Jesus started to wash the disciples' feet, it was Peter who protested, "You wash my feet?" And when Jesus explained that it showed how they were all part of each other and servants together, Peter said, "Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head." And would probably have stripped down to the altogether if Jesus hadn't stopped him in time. At that same sad meal, Jesus said he would have to be going soon. And because Peter didn't get what he meant or couldn't face it, he asked about it. And Jesus explained what he meant was that he was going where nobody on earth could follow him. Peter finally got the point then and asked why he couldn't follow. "I'll lay down my life for you," he said. And then Jesus said to him the hardest thing Peter had ever heard him say. "Listen, listen," he said. "The cock won't crow until you've betrayed me 3 times. And that's the way it was, of course. Peter's sitting out there in the high priest's courtyard keeping warm by the fire while inside the ghastly interrogation was in process, and then the girl coming up to ask him 3 times if he wasn't one of them, and his replying each time that he didn't know what in God's name she was talking about. And then the old cock's wattles trembling scarlet as up over the horizon it squawked the rising sun, and the tears running down Peter's face like rain down a rock. According to Paul, the first person Jesus came back to see after Easter morning was Peter. What he said and what Peter said, nobody will ever know, and maybe that's just as well. Their last conversation on this earth, however, is reported in the Gospel of John. It was on the beach at daybreak. Some of the other disciples were there, and Jesus cooked them breakfast. When it was over, he said to Peter, only again he called him Simon, son of John, because if ever he meant business, this was it. Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter said he did. Then Jesus asked the same question a second time and then once again, and each time Peter said he loved him, three times in all to make up for the other three times. Then Jesus said, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And you get the feeling that this time Peter didn't miss the point. From fisher of fish to fisher of people, to keeper of the keys, to shepherd. It was the Rock's final promotion, and from that day forward, he never let the head office down again. Let us pray. God of second chances, God of grace, meet us here. Just as you met the disciples at the beach, meet us here. Meet us now. You know what our winds and waves look like. You know the nature of our storms. So just as you walked toward Peter, walk toward us. Fortunately, like Peter, we have also seen you stop the storms. We have seen your fingerprints in our lives in ways we did not always expect. So with gratitude in our hearts, we come to you today to say thank you. Thank you for the unending grace that encircles our wandering hearts. God, we have been back and forth, to and from on this journey of faith. For every time that you walked the valley with us, for every time that you have met us on the mountaintop, and for every time you have stayed still while we ran toward you, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Join in our affirmation of faith. We believe in a God who shows up in our lives, surprising and catching us off guard in the best of ways. We believe in a God who cares for God's people, a shepherd who longs for her sheep to be fed and tended. We believe in a God who took on flesh, a God whose love changed the world as we know it. We believe that this here and now God invites us out of the boat, calling ordinary people like Peter, like us, into a life of service and community. And so we give our hearts. We give our whole hearts and nothing less. Amen.
Thine is the glory, risen. us love. Bring us safe through Jordan to thy home above. Thine is the glory, risen conquering sun. Endless is the victory thou o'er death hast won.
Receive the benediction. Beloved wanderer, as you leave this place, may you carry your curious heart on your sleeve. May you look for God in every face. May you find the courage to get out of the boat, to run to the tomb, and to speak of your faith. And when the world falls apart, may you hear God's voice deep within saying, "Take heart, it is I. Be not afraid." You are called, you are blessed. In both your ups and your downs, you always belong to God. Go now in peace. Go trusting that good news. Amen.